So it's Tuesday, and it's time for our Tuesdays with Tom segment, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, how are you today? How's your Tuesday going?
Anna, it's going marvelously. I hope yours is, too. It's nice to see the sun again, isn't it? And another warm day, Anna. How about that?
Yeah, I want to get to the roller coaster that I took a peek at your 7-day, and there's a lot to talk about there. But, Tom, I got first things first here. I got to ask you, first and foremost, how's your bracket doing? Are you in the NCAA pool? Have you made your picks?
Oh, gosh. You know, Anna, there are so many people better equipped to come up with brackets. I give up. I defer to the experts on that. How did you do on it?
Well, I know nothing about it, and I typically do very well. This is how it goes. Baylor and Houston. I picked both Baylor and Houston, and so that's working out for me, Tom.
Good. I was following, you know, I live three blocks down the street from Loyola here, so I was carefully following what was going on with our Loyola folks. But I'll tell you something. I wish they did such a great job. And I was hoping they might, you know, pull this one out of the bag. They came close.
They did. And Sister Jean and those players and the way they came together. It just was such a wonderful story. I'm told that you can't even call it Cinderella anymore because they've done it now, you know, twice in just several years. And it's great to see what Porter Moser, the coach over there, has done with that program. It is like, it's just exciting to see that, you know, that small school. I grew up over there, too, in Rogers Park, not far from there. It's amazing to see that school do what it has in NCAA basketball in the tournament. It's amazing. Hey, Tom, did you get to see or hear any of the celebrations that weekend? What was it, a couple weekends ago, when they took to the streets and the students were all, like, celebrating the fact that they had gotten past the first round, I think it was?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. I've been through the Cubs, the White Sox, and the Blackhawks, and all the rest. And normally you have people riding up and down Sheridan Road, you know, beeping horns, even at 3 or 4 in the morning. I didn't hear that with this. The students were very restrained. But I'll tell you, I was walking over there. I went over, I switched cell service recently, and I was over there the weekend before the games were to begin. And even then, you could hear the celebratory mood that was in place over there. So I think it's wonderful. What a wonderful thing to happen. And what a great time for it to happen, because we've all been through something of a trauma with this COVID-19. And, you know, we seem to be making progress on that front. And to see this happening had to buoy the spirits of the students, no question about it. It was great.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it seems like even the little celebrations can become so huge and so joyful, right?
Yes.
Just because you haven't had a lot of those reasons to celebrate over the past year. And when you get one, you grab it, and it just feels like such a release. And it was super cool to see those students celebrate.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you another thing that's happening. To have these warmer days show up with some regularity is kind of nice, too. That raises the spirit. Now what we're waiting for are the little buds to start showing up on all the trees. Although folks have been sending me pictures of flowers emerging and buds coming out on some of the trees. So this is good, Anna. We're moving in the right direction on so many fronts.
One of the things you've taught me, Tom, is that the flowers and the buds, they know. I mean, they know if there happens to be like a frost around the corner, if there's a major snowstorm in April, they happen to know these things and they don't come out.
Yeah.
But if they're popping out, maybe that's a good sign. I don't know. What do you make of that?
No, I agree with you totally. Well, you know, it's like, you know, people look at the length of fur on animals or how deep the salmon are running and things like that. And, you know, all these signs are reacting to the weather that's happened up to that point. And to the extent the trends that those are indicating continue, they serve as kind of proxy indicators of what's happened in the weather. And if you just extrapolate forward, what may be going to happen. So it's all good, Anna. The whole system is built to kind of reflect what's going on, with our little critters.
Yeah, it's nice to see. And you're right, that just seeing some buds show up or flowers emerge. I see people post them to social media too. When, oh look, there's a flower. It's coming up. It's coming out. You know, it's ready. Right. It's ready. And that's a wonderful thing to see, Tom. I'm looking at your 7 day here. I'm on the WGN-TV news website, and it's always excellent. You have a lot of great questions. I read this a lot because I love the answers you have to the questions. Like, what's easier to predict, the path of the tornado or the hurricane? I read through that today because I'm like, I got to hear what Tom has to say about this. But one of the things that sticks out about your 7 day is basically the roller coaster ride we're going to be on here. I'm seeing lows is like 26 and 28, and the highs darn near 70. Can you please explain?
Hey, you know, it's March and April at their finest. We all know the vagaries of weather at this time of the year. You know, we've got two seasons fighting it out here, Anna. It happens every year. You got the retreating cold of winter and the expanding warmth of spring and summer, and they do battle at times, and that can produce some big storms. That wind we had yesterday, and it's windy again today, has been the product of such a storm. It's tracking up through Canada. And thank goodness you go down to the Gulf Coast, the winds are blowing from the northeast down there, so that's not allowing the moisture to come northward. So even though we've got a big storm producing all this wind, but also warming us up in the process, this thing is not coming in here with huge amounts of rain, although we could use a little moisture at this point. We're a little dry. And, you know, the one thing about spring is this is kind of our last shot at getting these widespread rains that our farmers and gardeners and all depend on. You get into summer and the rains become a little more scattered. So these months of March, April, May are kind of critical. And it's a little, a little concerning that we're so dry. We've only had about half our normal amount of rain, and February was dry too, despite all that snow. There wasn't a lot of moisture in that snow. So a little bit dry, but you're right about the temperatures. Boy, they're going through the full cycle here. We've got some chilly air coming in tomorrow and Thursday. Should be a chilly home opener for the Cubs, but it looks like the sun will be out. Even though there could be a few lake effect rain or snow showers going into Indiana, they might even brush our Chicago shoreline tomorrow night, Wednesday night. But nice sunshine on Thursday, and then we warm up rapidly into the probably the upper 60s, low 70s on Saturday, and I would suspect we've got some 70-degree highs coming Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The one fly in the ointment right on the shoreline, maybe on Sunday, we get a little wind off the lake that would cool things a little bit there, even as it gets warm away from the lake. But, Anna, this looks good. And if you look out 15 days, as our models enable us to do, above-normal temps dominate the scene. So it doesn't mean there won't be a cool spell somewhere in there, like the one coming tomorrow and Thursday. But by and large, we're in a warm pattern, and we have been, except for February, really since last November around here.
Tom, hang on for a second. We're going to check traffic with Mary, and then I want to ask you more about the home opener. The Tribune did this awesome thing. They took a look back, the archivist over there, at opening day weather. I want to ask you about it in just a second. Back with Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And Tom, you mentioned a little bit about opening day, which is, what, 2 days away for the home opener for the Cubs. And, of course, the Sox start away, but they also begin this week. Hey, I'm just looking here. The Chicago Tribune is the archivist there. She's excellent. She's been on the show before. And she went back and she looked at since 1989, when box scores from Major League Baseball games began to include weather conditions at the ballpark at the time of the first pitch. The Cubs have a 14-18 home opener record, the White Sox 17-15. Neither team dominates in cold weather, and the team's relative winning percentages don't depart from the general trend as temperatures rise or fall. Bottom line here, and here for that, she looked at 30 years of data. So bottom line for this, she's saying, is basically the weather really has no difference on whether it doesn't make a difference for the team, but it does make a difference for the fans who have sat through everything imaginable on home openers, huh?
Oh, yeah, even postponements of the home opener when it's too chilly. Look, when you plan anything outdoors early in the spring like this, the weather can be funny. Yeah, I remember Jerry Reinsdorf, we were doing our White Sox weather day out at the then Comiskey, now Guaranteed Rate Field, but I remember he, Jerry Reinsdorf was there, and he came up to me. He said, look, he said, you know, why is it that it seems we get chilly weather, and yet up in Minnesota, they open up with warm weather? He said, is it the lake? I said, you got it. You know, that's often what's going on. Takes a little while to warm this big body of beautiful water we have, 20% of the world's fresh water out there. That can have an impact on our weather around here. But it's interesting you bring that up. There was another columnist, George Castle, who for years has looked at opening at Cubs, you know, home run, the tendency for home runs at Wrigley Field. And he's convinced that the lake and the winds that come off it affect the number of home runs we have at Wrigley Field. And I defer to George on that and to others who have looked at it. But, the weather can have an impact. There's no question about that. I remember, you know, Anna Harry Carey used to be driven to distraction when, you know, any of us would forecast snow on opening day. I remember he used to say, you know, he said, those weather people, he says, they're no better than a bunch of, you know, Wall Street stockbrokers, you know. And he would he'd get mad. And years later, we did this Bozo Ball fundraiser for the On the Streets Club over at Navy Pier, and Harry would be there each year along with all of our folks from WGN. And he came, I heard this ha, 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 coming up behind me, and I turned around. There's Harry, and he says, you know, he says, I don't know what it is about the way you do the weather, but he says, I like it. And so I guess I was forgiven the snows on opening days or the forecasts of them. But they always melt, you know, these early season snows when they happen. And thank goodness it doesn't look like we're going to have one this year. So that's good.
Well, Tom, I put you way above stock pickers, if it means anything to you, when it comes to, you have science that you're relying on, and I trust you much better than most of the stock pickers I know. But it's amazing just to think of that interaction with Harry Carey. So he didn't like the snow in general, or he didn't like the way it was kind of a volatile weather patterns, and you couldn't always tell what was happening?
Oh, yeah. He didn't like us. If it was going to happen, he would prefer we didn't say anything about it, you know. And so, but I, as I said, in later years, I found out I had been forgiven for my past sins, you know, forecasting snow when it happened on opening day. Most of the time when we predicted it, it happened. But at any rate, that's a rarity. I mean, even at this time of the year, it happens. We can still get snow. We were looking at the records, Anna, 67% of years have produced a tenth of an inch, what that's the threshold for measurable snow from this date forward before we get into the warmth of late spring and summer. So that can happen, but it tends not to be the norm. Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. I've sat through some miserable opening days. We all have. Any Cubs or Sox fan, for that matter, has really, you know, we bared the brunt in the roller coaster ride that tends to be March and April. And it seems like it's not disappointing. Although I love hearing what you say when you say you're looking out 15 days that you're seeing above normal temperatures. That's fantastic, Tom.
Yeah, by and large. I mean, we'll have dips. But when you average it out, something else, Anna, we looked at currents of warm weather, say over the next 30 days, 97% of years, and we have 150 years of data to look at, 97% of years have had 70s, 53% of years in the next month have produced 80-degree or warmer temps. And we've even had 1% of years that have produced a 90-degree temp. So, you know, we'll start seeing these warmer periods more and more frequently, and they'll get warmer and warmer as the days continue getting longer and we melt the snow up north of us farther and farther north, get it away from this area, and that's already gone on to a large extent. So it's all good, Anna. We're going the right way.
We are. Now, our chances of getting snow, any measurable amount, I mean, I know you said it tends to just kind of, you know, it melts pretty quickly. Our chances in April, what does that look like? Just remind us what the data says.
Well, we've had, you know, obviously all of us can remember some of those late season snows, and some of them have been fairly substantial, 10 inches or more. Those are those real windshield wiper breaker snows, real heavy heart attack, heavy water, heavy snows. But they'll fall, and they tend to be gone in a couple of days on those rare years you get them. And they, we looked at some data. I think only 3% of years have seen more than 4 inches of snow from this point forward, 4 inches or more. So, you know, the climatological probability of us getting it is really dropping off. You can get some brief snows that stick on the ground, but they're usually gone by the afternoon. And I don't see anything like that in our, you know, it may be there, but it's not showing up yet in any of our data for the next 2 weeks. What is showing up are a series of 70-degree days.
Woo.
Some will occur this Easter weekend and going into next week. So, and then it looks like it turns a little chillier the middle and end of next week, but then we start warming back up again. The trend is toward warmer weather at this time. Yeah.
It sounds good, Tom. And, you know, it's good talking with you. And that's great. You're delivering great news today, too. So it's all good, Tom.
It is good, Anna. And Anna, it's always a delight talking to you on Tuesdays. You happy Tuesday to you, Anna. Happy the rest of the week to you and
you
all
too.
Of our. Yeah.
Say hello to all our friends over at WGN TV News. Okay?
I will. Thank you, Anna. And you say hi to everybody at radio for us.
I will. Thanks, Tom. We'll talk next Tuesday.
You bet. Thanks, Anna.
It's time to get to the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.